Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of BlackBox Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Varma, Whole-time Director and President of BlackBox Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good morning, everyone. First and foremost, I hope all are keeping safe and healthy. On the call, I'm joined by Deepak Bansal, Executive Director and Global CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our results presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We're happy to meet again. I'll start with a very brief overview of our company, followed by business and financial performance for Q3 and 9 months for fiscal FY23. BlackBox is a leading global ICT solution provider with a strong presence in 35 countries across North America, Europe, the Middle East, and Asia Pacific markets, served by 4,000+ highly skilled resources. BlackBox has expertise in consulting, designing, deploying, managing, and securing customer IT and communications infrastructure. With the aid of this expertise, businesses can build and provide pertinent technological solutions and services that support their core business objectives. Our key business segments. BlackBox product solutions portfolio is divided into two major segments: Global Solutions Integration and Technology Product Solutions businesses. Our GSI business contributes 80% to the consolidated revenues, whereas the TPS business contributes the balance 20%. In our GSI business, our growth strategy revolves around providing solutions in the areas of connected and smart campuses, including IoT, digital workplace, customer experience, data center, network, wireless, and mobility, including 5G and LTE, and cybersecurity. In our Technology Product Solutions business, we sell BlackBox own IT products and BlackBox branded white label digital technology infrastructure products. For these products, we additionally provide guarantee and technical assistance to enhance the customer experience. Our go-to-market for our Technology Product Solutions business is through integration partners and value-added resellers. Our product portfolio in the TPS include signal switching, KVM, visualization, IoT, networking, infrastructure, and connectivity. We've established a strong and lasting partnership with our customers, and today our top 10 customers contribute approximately 40% of our revenues. Geographically, North America contributes 74%, Europe 10%, India 8%, APAC 4%, and the balance 5% by other regions. For business, our strategy revolves around being global, think global and act local, and we believe in keeping our relationships global and at the same time be relevant with providing the flexibility to our customers to cost effectively deliver in 35 countries, including from our center of excellence in India. Our global strategy is aligned with delivering better outcomes and accelerating our customers' business. Today, we serve 250 of the Fortune 500 companies, 8,000 global customers, 5,000+ active client locations, service on-site, 30+ global technology partnerships with the help of 4,000+ global team members. Despite the challenging economic environment, our healthy order book and strong execution of projects has helped us witness a strong revenue growth for the 9 months of fiscal 2023. During the quarter went by, the company has performed well across its business areas, of which the data center, connected building, 5G solutions performed very well. We are happy to report that we won new deals with upward value of $80 million during the quarter. Further, we expect that on a medium-term basis, our aim is to increase market penetration in existing geographies and add new clients. By fiscal 2024, the company expects the revenue to cross INR 7,000 crore mark and achieve EBITDA margins in the range of 9-10%. Further, despite the overall macro environment, we remain cautiously optimistic to deliver a strong performance in the coming quarters on the back of healthy flow of deals. That's it from my side. I now hand over the call to Deepak to run through the financial highlights during the quarter.
Thank you, Sanjeev, for the detailed overview. Good morning, everybody. I will now discuss our financial performance for quarter three and 9 months for FY23. The revenue for the quarter increased to INR 1,672 crores, which is up 20% year-on-year and 7% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Similarly, for 9 months, the revenue increased to INR 4,606 crores, that is a growth of 17% year-on-year. The growth in revenue is primarily attributable to healthy order book, strong backlog of orders, and most importantly, efficient execution of projects. We continue to see momentum going ahead. We have reported gross profit margin of 25.5% for quarter 3 FY23. I would like to reiterate that we have started seeing the positive impact in our gross margins of our initiatives related to revising our span of control, rookie mix, and rightshore some of the work to reduce and optimize the costs. EBITDA for quarter 3 FY23 stood at INR 72 crores versus INR 68 crores in quarter 3 of FY22 and INR 50 crores in quarter 2 of FY23. Whereas for 9 months of FY23, EBITDA stood at INR 175 crores. The EBITDA margins for quarter 3 FY23 was at 4.3% and 3.8% for 9 months FY23. There was a sequential increase in EBITDA margins, primarily due to improvement in gross margins coupled with cost rationalization measures. Profit after tax for the quarter increased to INR 8 crores versus loss of INR 23 crores in the previous quarter, primarily due to impact of higher operating profits despite of increased interest costs. Just to summarize, we continue to see healthy order book, which will drive revenue and profitability growth. That's all from my side. I now leave the floor open for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ashay Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Ashay Jain, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question, sir.
Hello.
Please proceed.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, we've seen this layoffs happening across the IT sector, which includes big names like Twitter, Amazon, etc. So how is the demand environment on the ground, and have we witnessed any slowdown so further because the layoffs and the inflation is there, which can persist over the next few quarters? And I believe we had an order win from Facebook data center for data centers. So and they are cutting down on capex. So there is any significant impact on us due to this factors?
Okay, so I'll take that question. Thanks for the question. Yeah, so I think it's a matter of fact that there have been some headwinds here, and we've seen that in some layoffs with the large IT providers and cloud companies. I think specific to our company, we haven't seen the impact of being slow or reduction in any of our deal pipeline as of yet, at least in the short to medium term. In fact, our order book for this quarter has been fairly strong compared to the previous quarter. Right. And I think so from our deal pipeline perspective, I think we are largely, a large section of our business falls under non-discretionary spend. So with respect to Meta or any of our large customers, I think our current pipeline still remains strong. So we don't expect, from that perspective to have any short-term effect. How it will pan out over the long term, I mean, we will not be able to predict that. But I think we feel reasonably confident that our deal pipeline remains strong and our customer demands continues to grow.
Understood. Secondly, 2023, the year has been started with all these factors. So acquiring any company at a cheaper valuation makes sense. So what are your thoughts on the same? And do we have any near plans to get into a new business area, be it organically or any M&A transaction? And if anything in the existing business areas or perhaps in the new business area that we are targeting? And what is the estimated capex that we can do to fund that?
So we remain, I think, open to continue to look for new areas to invest. The fact that we are a technology business and there is technology shift that continues to happen. So we, of course, in Blackbox as well, have taken some investment largely organically over the last 12 months. Most importantly, in cybersecurity, we also invested in talent in data center. The fruits of that is coming through the deal pipeline. So we'll continue to evaluate opportunities both organically in a technology sector, in a geography that we believe makes sense for us. For example, we did invest in Europe over the previous 12 months' time that we expect to become more accretive going forward. From an inorganic standpoint, we continue to see if something is accretive for us. That makes sense. As I've told before, we are not emotional about economics. If it makes sense, we will approach. If we are able to see it being accretive, fund it, we're not going to get overboard. We do not have something to talk on this call at this time from an inorganic perspective. We'll continue to invest in talent, look at markets. We're looking at 5G LTE as a strong sector for us. We have presence in that sector. We expect some of those investments that we are making and will make in talent will help us to improve our pipeline and revenues going forward. Data center, cybersecurity, 5G, LTE are the focus areas. So we'll continue to evaluate those.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nidhi Agarwal from Bright Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. My question is that earlier the inflationary pressure and higher supply chain costs had a negative impact on our performance, but now our gross margins have begun to improve sequentially. So is it fair to assume that the inflationary pressure and supply chain challenges are now getting back to normal? How is the overall economic environment according to you?
Yeah, so I don't think it is coming, it's completely gone away. So it will continue to have those kind of pressures. But having said that, I think we did take measures, as Deepak called out in his earlier communication, of taking strategic measures of improving efficiency, reducing some costs, and some of them were accretive for us in quarter three. We expect the full impact of that will come through quarter four and beyond. So we expect to see our margins to better improve. We've also had a chance over the last couple of quarters to go back to our customers and reprise or bid with better yields. So those impacts will also come. So although the pressure continues to remain, I think the employment market overall is still remains fairly high and 30% remains there. but we have also over the last couple of quarters learned to rebalance ourselves, both from a cost perspective, right sourcing perspective, making use of our capability center in Bangalore, and also going back to clients when you bid for new RFPs for repricing and baking in the inflationary cost. So although we expect this thing to continue, the supply chain has slightly eased off, but it still continues to be a challenge. We are cautious, but we are optimistic about our growth for the future at the back of the strategic measures that we have taken, at the back of going back to our customers and repricing our bids when we bid for new prices. And those are starting to show up in Q3, and we expect it to be accretive going forward in Q4 and beyond.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Amit Shah from AMT Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Sir, firstly, currently we are present in 6 geographies. Any plans to enter into newer ones?
No, I think just to correct, we're present in about 6 continents, about 35 odd markets. And, so we have already striving at strategy to increase scale in some of the markets. Therefore, we're focused in Europe to increase scale, Asia Pacific to increase scale. We're not looking at opening up a new country at this time. We're present in all the markets we operate. So we are now going deeper than wider, at least for the short term. If you look at an opportunity that might come up in a certain country or at the back of some customer contracts, we'll be open to do that. But current strategy would be to go deeper in the market that we are present.
Okay. Sir, and what would be our gross margin currently? And if we calculate the gross margin with the SEBI prescribed format, the numbers would differ. So can you help me with the current margins and what would be the steady state margins for our business going ahead?
And defer it to Deepa, could you take that?
Yeah, I can take that. Yeah. So our gross margins for the quarter is 25.5%, and you can see it from our investor presentation. It is there on the slide 8 of our investor presentation, because the SEBI format is in a different way, where the gross profit calculation is a little bit complicated because we have to report the people expenses in total, the employee cost and all, which includes our SG&A and everything. So you can't directly calculate our gross margin from there, because we have a lot of people sitting in the COGS, and that's why we publish the gross margin data in our investor presentation on slide 8. So it is 25.5%. Previous quarter it was 23.4%. So our gross margin is increased in this quarter by 210 basis points this quarter. And going forward with all our initiatives, what we are taking right now to improve the gross margin, primarily by optimizing our costs and doing all the rookie makes and also the right shoring of the activities and all those things, we continue to see increase in the gross margin going forward in the coming quarters also.
Understood, sir. And sir, lastly, on our presentation, we have mentioned that we have won deals worth more than $80 million, of which majority contribution is from data center and in building 5G solutions. So can we assume that this data center segment will be our focus area going ahead? And apart from this, which other areas are we seeing reporting good deals, wins in coming quarters?
Yeah, so I think data center is, of course, one of our hyper-growth sectors, as you can see throughout the world, and including in India. There's a massive, massive deal we talked about. We're talking about putting 1,350 megawatts of power behind data center build-outs in India itself. I think the numbers in America and Europe is very, very high. We are a very strong player in that space, largely hyperscalers, which means large, very large projects. So yes, we expect that to, at least in the foreseeable future, over the next 2 to 5 years time, continue to grow. Having said that, there are different sectors for networking, including wireless, Wi-Fi, 5G LTE for enterprise, not for telecom operators. Cybersecurity, as I talked earlier, we have invested heavily. We are seeing good deal pipeline. These are hyper-growth areas for us. So therefore, we expect data center, connected smart buildings, including IoT, networking, specifically wireless networking and 5G LTE, and cybersecurity. This will remain hyper-growth for us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for us answering my questions in detail.
Thank you. Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Doshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My question is, every quarter we are finding this figures of employee severance payment that the company has to make, which is hitting directly our bottom line. Can you explain, is this the last or is this going to continue for a few quarters more?
I will take that. So, as we mentioned that we have this cost optimization and rationalization right now going on. So that's why these severance expenses are coming, because in this part of the Western part of the world, which is primarily in Europe and US, we need to pay severances. So we are seeing primarily this quarter, which is the quarter four also, we will have some severance expenses because all these activities are going on. But yes, going forward, probably from the next quarter, next year, which is in FY24, we will not see those severance expenses.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next follow-up question is from the line of Ashay Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Couple of questions. I believe we have a revenue target of around 7,000 crores to be achieved by FY24, which I believe we can do it on the back of healthy order book, which we have with us. So, sir, can you highlight the plan, how we can improve our margins and reach in the range of 9 to 10%, and what are the steps we are going to take to achieve that number?
Okay, so I'll take that. So I think so from a revenue perspective, we continue to believe that we should be able to get to an average of 15-odd% revenue growth, so that it should take us closer to 7,000 crores. So I think if you look at the bridge to go to 9 to 10%, I think a couple of things. One, of course, we expect our margin at this time going forward, between now and over the next 12 months' time, to be accretive by 200 to 300 basis points. So that's our goal. And we expect our SG&A to that extent to possibly help us by another 100 basis points. So we have a bridge of going to between 3 or 4 basis points to hit that goal. So a three-pronged strategy. One, of course, our improvement in deliveries using our center of excellence in Bangalore. Efficiency in cost. You heard Deepak talked about certain cost adjustments here in high-cost markets. And then, of course, to be able to get better yields, as I said earlier, that we are repricing some of our contracts, long-term contracts as well, when we get a chance, when we are able to renew. A mixture of better sales yield, cost efficiencies out here in the U.S., better procurement strategies, and making our center of excellence in Bangalore more productive. We have close to 500 people at this time. We expect it to ramp up to close to 1,000 over the next 12 to 18 months' time. So this will be accretive. And then, of course, as a percentage of our revenues, the SG&A should shrink. We don't expect SG&A to grow in a proportionate manner. And some other efficiencies in SG&A should allow us about 100 basis points. So we see a clear bridge to be able to get to 9 to 10%.
Understood. So continuing on the revenue guidance of around 7,000 crores, so what would be the estimated capex that we would incur? Any ballpark figure?
Yeah, so we are a very capex light company. Go ahead, Deepak. You can take that.
No, go ahead. I was exactly saying the same thing, that we are a capex light company, and we don't have the capex in the form of a real capex. The capex is only for the growth purposes into the servers or server capacities or the laptops, or let's say if we do some warehouse or office, then there is a furniture and all those things. So we don't expect much capex to happen. Maybe capex will continue in the range of maybe between 8 to 10 crores type of capex every year. So otherwise we are not expecting much capex on that.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much. That's all.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Nishant Shah from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for taking the question. Sir, my question is basically, what is the role of a promoter family in our day-to-day business and how they are helping in our decision process?
Can you repeat the question once again?
Sir, what is the role of a family promoter promoter in our day-to-day business and what is the role in the decision process? How they are helping us?
No, so I think there's no role for a promoter from a day-to-day business. The company is run by executives with the support of the board. One of the family members, promoter, is also on the board and he brings in the expertise across various sectors and segments that the promoter family runs. So it's helpful for us to get an insight from that perspective. Sometimes an outside view or a different industry view is very, very helpful from that perspective. So Mr. Riya is on the board from the family side. The operations of the company are run by the key management, me, Deepak, and the team of people, right? And from a support perspective, the family or the promoter supported, including when we were looking at acquisition, we needed capital. So if we should we require some of those kind of insights or discussions or investments, that might be helpful. But from an operations perspective, for organic growth or a kind of a managed inorganic growth as well that can come from the cash flows of the company, I don't see anything that we need from the promoter.
Okay. And any second generation any kind of a new leg of people are entering into the segment?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. And sir, another question is, have you seen the impact of the severance cost or is there any more impact that we are going to see going ahead?
So Deepak, just to cover that, so just to repeat, so we are starting to taper down our cost for severance. We might just see, as my global CFO just said, for one more quarter and then it will taper down. But it will not be anything significant going forward in the next fiscal year.
Okay, so we might see a margin expansion going ahead.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, you said the CapEx will be around 8 to 10 years. So whether it will be a debt funded or it will be from the internal accrual?
It will be from internal accrual.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. So I have two questions. Your business model is spread across various spectrum. So going forward, how do you see, look at the defense sector, given that India over the next few years will be spending large money over there? So please throw some color on KVM solutions.
Okay, so I think from our sector, if you're looking at a geographical sector, as I told earlier, we have nearly 74-75% of our business coming from the U.S. So when we see growth, I don't see a major change. The U.S. will still remain our dominant sector going forward. India currently contributes 8%. So as we start to grow, if they keep pace, they possibly can gain a percent or so at best. We're very cautious pertaining to participating in something very, very large in India. I mean, we are prudent in terms of our cash flow management. India is not one of the best places with respect to payment cycles, more specifically from public sector, federal or state businesses. So we are cautious. We are largely focused on enterprise. So we don't expect a major change in our revenue mix from geographies. There could be a small shift here and there compared to going deeper in Europe or gaining a percentage of point in each of the markets, but largely it will continue to remain the same. The second question was pertaining to a KVM product portfolio, which is a black box owned IP under the brand Emerald with R&D centers in Ireland and Bangalore. Now, KVM is largely used in aggregating collaboration videos, most importantly used in sectors like broadcasting, utility command centers, air traffic controls, and so on and so forth. It's a very interesting sector. It's a niche sector. We are one of the dominant players. We expect, with respect to expansion of public utilities, airport and transport and command centers, we have an advantage of our own IP. We just launched a new product as well called DeskView. So we see growth in that sector as well to be a dominant player going forward. We are also looking at investing in our R&D to change the model to going forward into cloud-based subscription. So those things are work in progress. So we'll continue to invest in our R&D in the KBM sector to be a dominant player.
Okay, so that helps. So my second question is that in our business, can we pass on the labor cost increase, and at what point in time does the pricing reset?
Okay, so I think from a project perspective, the labor cost increase is priced in when we bid, right? So because you have, when you're bidding for new projects, you take the current market, and of course you take a view of the tenure of the project. Some of our long-term projects are 12 to 18 months. In fact, it could go more. So clearly it's our solution engineering team and the price bid team take care of inflation and cost, which it is baked in and passed on. With respect to our existing contracts, earlier on, we did have some inflation baked in, but clearly I think we didn't expect the inflation to be 7-8% in the US. So clearly that affected our margin. We couldn't renegotiate with some of our larger clients. Having said that, as and when the contracts come up for renewal, customers are fairly open. They understand that the market is not the same. So we are taking care of that. And I'm so sorry, my line just got dropped. Yeah, so we're saying with respect to when the contracts come up for renewal, the customers are fairly open and we are able to reprice or bake in the cost delivery increase. We've also learned, I think, over the last 12 months' time that things can dramatically change. So all new contracts that we are currently signing, we are keeping that clause pertaining to a significant change in market dynamics allowing us to price change. So new projects, baking in the current cost, taking the view of what is the price for the next 12 to 24 months. Older contracts, as we come up for renewal, we're making sure that we have the necessary clauses apart from price increase so that we are... Okay, I'm not sure where I left, but I've kept on speaking. So I did answer that, yes, going forward, from the labor cost perspective, for newer projects, we are capturing in. As the contracts come up for renewal, we are also capturing in and making it ensure that we have a clause for any unexpected change in market dynamics.
Okay, sir, got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from Financial Quotient. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Sanjay. Good morning.
Hi, Isal.
My question is regarding to the margin guidance that I've been hearing that we should be able to do around 8-9% in coming FY. So since that we now have headwinds in the Western world and our maximum contribution comes from the US, which is in mid-70s, and India happens to be in the single digit at the moment. So how do you see the headwinds in the US affecting our margin guidance in times to come? That's my first question. And second is, I heard you saying that we are now investing into India for the data centers. So are we finding the policies, the government policies favorable for the data centers as compared to the Western world to be increasing our share in India? And my third question is about the tax rate. As I see that the tax rate is somewhere around in mid-40s, so any insight from that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the first two and I think I'll defer the third one to my...
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Okay, so with respect to, I think I answered in the previous question. So I think with respect to the US, I think our margin, from a margin perspective, any cost increase or any labor issues or whatever is being priced in to our customers. And I think so we are getting better price yields to cover for any increased costs from a pass-through perspective. So whatever our plans are from a margin perspective, I think that is neutral to the inflationary pressure or the cost out here because that's baked in our pricing. I said earlier on that I think we expect to cover the bridge going to 9-10% at the back of improved gross margin from cost efficiency, making the use of our global capability center in Bangalore, getting better price yields from customer. So we still have some of the older contracts baked in, and we're waiting as and when we get a chance to renew those will come at a better price yields. At the back of that, an increased revenue will shrink our SG&A largely remaining constant, and a better efficiency from our shared services that we have already put in, managing our supply chain, order management, FP&A, the other back-end activities of human resources, recruiting and legal, will also be accretive from our SG&A perspective. So between these two, we plan to bridge our goals to get to 9-10%. From a perspective of India, and as I said, I actually said, although the markets in India are getting hyper from a data center and some of the other perspective, we'll be cautious to participate at the back of the cash flow requirements, the working capital and payment terms in India, which are different than the advanced markets of US and Europe. So although we remain interested to see that, but we wouldn't jump until we see how it pans out for us, because we wouldn't want to be funding a large project or taking a position where our working capital dramatically changes. But having said that, it's a growth market, so we'll see where we go from there. And the third question of tax, I didn't really get it properly, but I think if Deepak got the question right, I'll defer it to Deepak.
Yeah. So on the tax side, it is not a issue of a tax rate. It is basically the geographical mix which is playing the role over there in the tax. So one is the accounting charge in the form of a deferred tax, and the second is a current tax. But because we are present in 34 geographies, so the ratio of the profitability in terms of how we true up and how we calculate the tax in the different geographies, and that's why, because of the lower base, the tax rate is looking high, but it's an absolute number which is working from a geographical mix perspective, because the US and the Europe and all those countries, the 16 countries and all, so we calculate the tax at each and every country level, and that's why the tax is playing that role. So tax rate is not coming out properly because of the low base, but if we look at from a longer period perspective, then it will come out properly.
Okay, so which means that the financial year calculation would be in line to what the previous year
has. Yeah. That is correct,
Thank you so much. Thanks, Sanjay. Thank you, Deepa.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. You may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Verma for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. With this, I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me, Deepak, or Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Black Box Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.